You are listening to Sheep Might Fly, a podcast of serialised fiction written and read by Tansy Maynard Roberts. This week, with the penultimate episode of the Creature Court novella Cabaret of Monsters. And this is the last time I will regale you with a Saturnalia historical fact. I've saved the best till last. I want to talk to you about Pliny the Elder, one of the famous writers of ancient Rome, who was very interested himself in historical facts, facts about the world. He recorded many, many important facts about the world around him, about natural science. Some of those facts were very useful to historians, and many of the others were very funny inadvertently. So Pliny the Elder was not a fan of Saturnalia. He was a bit of a grumpy old man, but he didn't like to spoil the fun of his servants. He did not go the full Scrooge, you'll be pleased to know. But in a letter to a friend, he wrote, "When I retire to this garden summer house, I fancy myself 100 miles away from my villa and take a special pleasure in it at the feast of Saturnalia, when, by the license of that festive season, every other part of my house resounds with my servants' mirth. Thus, I neither interrupt their amusement, nor they my studies." That's right, the festival was so distressing to him, with everybody having fun, he used to hide in the garden. Mind you, ancient Roman fancy people had very nice gardens, so, you know, that's all fine. Okay, please enjoy our penultimate episode of Cabaret of Monsters, and I'll be back next week to tell you what the next Sheep Might Fly serial will be. Please enjoy. Chapter 12. The Ides of Saturnalis. One day before Saturnalia. Daylight. Evie had seen possession before. She was the storyteller. Clients rarely paid her fee to kill ordinary humans. She had once slashed the throat of an old man in a haunted house, releasing a dozen or more wraiths that had latched onto his soul. She once murdered a woman who was born with an angel inside her head. She had defeated devils with a holy blade and saints with a cursed axe. She was good at her job. Whatever was inside La Villa, it was powerful. An invisible knife might not be enough to finish her off. Evie had not been paid to take out La Villa, and she wasn't a charity foundation. "All I need is for him to die," she said calmly. Garnet still lived. Whatever power turned him into a gattopardo was stringing things out. She could hear the small, wet sound of him managing, impossibly, to breathe, despite the knife in his throat. "Then I'll be out of your hair. I don't care what you do to the city. I'll be on the first train out of here." Evie didn't usually lie to herself, except when she had to. She didn't realise she was lying until she said the words. But she did care about a piece of this city. She cared about Christoph and Sunshine. Even bitchy Ruby Red, with her flouncing and sly looks. Ruby Red knew there was something wrong with La Villa from the start. And no one listened. Because a second Columbine hating the Stella, that was the natural order of things. La Villa stepped closer, eyeing Evie like she was coronets for breakfast. "I thought I wouldn't need to upgrade," she said. "What could be better than wolves and a Saturnalia angel? But you, you're fascinating." "I'm nothing special," said Evie, who had worked hard to become so. "You look ordinary, but you're a weapon. I wonder if I can turn you into wolves." She gnashed her teeth briefly and grinned a quirky little grin. "I'd rather you didn't try to find out," Evie said. "You're new in this city," La Villa mused. "No one will care if you're different." That stung. "I've done my job," said Evie. "It's time to go." "He's not dead yet," said La Villa, taking another step forward as if they were going to kiss again, as if that was all this had ever been about. Some grand, twisted seduction. Evie opened her mouth to protest, to say something, to talk herself the hells out of this situation. But then her head burned with white light, and her limbs no longer felt like they belonged to her. She was laughing, and she did not know why. Her whole body shook with helpless sobs of laughter. She tilted back against the wall, watching the world through lidded eyes and swirls of colour. Lavilla, the real Lavilla herself again, hard as nails and brittle as glass, spun around and ran to the fallen figure of Garnet, screaming a word that meant nothing to Evie, though she had seen it once, scribbled in a journal of a madman's ravings about this city. Sentinels! Evie lost time. She blinked and she was back at the boarding house, watching her friends scurry about, painting cosmetic on their faces and throwing stockings at each other. Who are you? She asked the bright light inside her skull. Call me Stella, replied the laughing creature. Look at you now, Evander X. So many secrets. You don't know which version of you is real. I know who I am, said Evie. But she couldn't feel angry about it, couldn't feel much of anything. You don't know much, said the bright light, the Stella inside. Let's sing about it. I can't sing, said Evie with her own mouth. Kristoff and Sunshine stopped in the middle of their flurry to stare at her. A little late for that, sweetheart, said Sunshine. Another shuffle of lost time, like leaves in a book. Evie blinked. Evie was the Stella. She watched from backstage as the show went on around her. Himself's show. Poet's show. The first round of the Saturnalia Review. The Vittorina Royale was alive in a way that theatres only were when there was a performance and an audience. I belong here, Evie thought, surprising herself. Too late, she realised that it was not her thought. Sunshine came out of nowhere dressed in their outfit from one of the skits, a suit that wasn't a suit, half seigneur with cravat, trews, and shirt slashed open and sewn down the middle to half of a flapper gown with sequins. Subtle, Evie said through lips that felt numb in a body no longer wholly her own. Shut up, this is theatre. We don't do subtle, said Sunshine, and kissed her for a moment, cleverly keeping their layers of cosmetic to themselves. I don't know how you talked himself into this, they added, then whirled away onto the stage before Evie could answer. What exactly had Evie talked himself into? She had no idea. Kristoff, bright and colourful as a harlequinus, came breathless off the stage and caught Evie's hand, pulling her with him as he ran back through a mess of half-naked performers to a dressing room, a room with a star on the door. You've barely got your face on, he chided. Where's that dem who was supposed to paint you up? She's busy. I've got this, said Ruby Red, of all people, tugging Evie away from Kristoff. You're due on stage again in 7. Why are you even here? I'll make it, said Kristoff, but he obeyed her quickly and quietly. There was no arguing back here, no drama. They saved the tears and catfights for rehearsals and breakfasts. For folk who had always seemed so scatty and erratic, the theatricals moved like parts of a well-oiled clockwork contraption. Their timing was perfect, their placement impeccable. They could be assassins, every one of them. Evie was the only one out of sync, a feather in their cogs and wheels. How could none of them see that she was broken? How had they accepted her so easily into their lives? She was never one of them. She was a wolf in flapper's clothing, just like... Where was Lavilla? The show went on, and if the harlequinade was minutes away, then it was the Saints and Angel next, the centrepiece of every Saturnalia Musette performance. You couldn't put on a show at Saturnalia without the Saints and Angel, any more than you could serve wine without water. This was Lavilla's dressing room, and she was not here. What had happened down in the dark? Was Garnet dead yet? Had Evie failed in her mission? They couldn't do the Saints an Angel without an angel, without a Stella. We're the Stella now, said the light inside Evie's head. She felt like she was going to throw up. No, not that. She couldn't possibly... Time leaped ahead. Evie stood on stage, lost and vulnerable, singing her lungs out. It was a tragic song about how angels defend humans without ever really understanding them. Lavilla had done it perfectly every time, every note the same. It was the Stella, of course, singing through Lavilla, just as she now sang through Evie, who tasted blood in her mouth as the song was torn from her. Every note, every word. She closed her eyes and let the Stella swallow her whole. She had never once in all her life wanted to be the centre of attention, which was why this was the perfect role for her to play. The Saints an Angel was about reversals, after all. The story unfolded before the audience. The saint dressed as an angel, and the angel dressed as a saint. Sunshine was brilliant. Though they faltered when Evie would not meet their eyes in the final scene. Evie sang and sang and sang, a puppet caught on strings that led to the sky and beyond. Whatever the Stella was, whatever power it had, how many more of them were there in the sky, waiting to invade? Time spun and leapt and screeched past the applause, the other songs, the dance, the final bow. Time stretched forever. When Evie caught up, she was in himself's garret above the box office, and he was yelling at her. Wait, she said, nauseated and giddy. I can't. He gave her an exhausted look and kicked a rickety chair in her direction. Evie caught it and sat down, her hands shaking. I don't, she said, and then stopped. Himself stood over her, light from the lantern reflecting off his spectacles. Which one am I speaking to now? The killer or the monster? Evie's skin was hot and clammy all over. The creature of light was not gone. It still burned within her. She was sure of it. That's an interesting philosophical question, she started to say. You're both smartasses, so that doesn't narrow it down. Are you human? I was this morning. He huffed out of breath. She stole my show, quite literally. That was not my idea. You tried to murder Garnet. His voice cracked on that sentence as if it mattered more to him than the rest. Evie's head snapped up. Tried? Is he still not dead? Himself looked pale. Lavilla said you tried to kill him before the sky creature dropped her and picked you up. I thought she was lying or confused. She prefers to be known as the Stella, not a sky creature, said Evie, without even stopping to think about who'd put those words in her head. Ugh, I hate that. I know that. Do you have anything to drink? I have gin, said himself. You don't deserve any. You tried to kill Garnet. That's my job, Evie said impatiently. It's not personal. It's not... He laughed hollowly. You almost destroyed the world. Do you realize that? Are you speaking to me or the Stella? I don't know which one you are. I'm Evie, said Evie, feeling slightly offended. I'm not the one who goes around with a bunch of different names. Orphan Princel, Stage Master, Poet, Himself. He frowned at her. What does that last one even mean? Oh, did he not realize all the theatricals called him Himself? That was kind of adorable, really. I should kill you, he said, which was a whole lot less adorable. Me? Said Evie. What did I do? Apart from trick your way into my home and my theatre, pretend to befriend the people closest to me, only to murder the man I... He broke off then, but what he didn't say spoke volumes. If you put it like that, Evie agreed. In my defense, I didn't pretend to make friends. It just sort of happened. Sunshine and Christoph and Ruby Red and even Poet and LaVilla had taken hold of her heart. She wasn't usually that careless with it. What do you mean I almost destroyed the world? Poet sighed at her. Who hired you to kill Garnet?
I'm not telling you that, said Evie, offended.
Dowager Baroniel Augusta Zandelian, she added a moment later, as the Stella inside her head took over the use of her tongue.
Damn it, don't do that!
Why would she even...
She's trying to get on my good side, said Poet dryly. She's hoping I'll let her keep you.
Evie stared at him, horrified. How is it up to you?
My theatre. My rules. She could have infected one of us when we were fighting the sky, but she chose to come in here somehow.
Hid in the walls, or the beams, or the curtains. If she's a Stella, then the only person who has power over her is...
the stage master.
He said it also matter-of-factly.
You can't let her keep my body, Evie hissed.
What else are we going to do with it? Can't have you running around trying to kill our power and majesty.
Evie gave him a long look.
You call yourself the storyteller, I hear, Poet said calmly. Try this for a bedtime story. If Garnet had died when you put that knife in him, we would have lost the city.
We're too weak already. We couldn't take a loss like that. But we, the creature court, all the wolves and rats and gutter party you've met, we defend the earth against the sky, against creatures like that Stella in your head, and worse, we're the heroes and the soldiers, not the monsters.
The Stella laughed at that, inside Evie's head, but she did not deny that it was true.
Tell Augusta Zandelian's son what a hero you are, Evie said, to see how he would react. After all, the Stella had already revealed the name of her client.
Poet gave her a venomous look. He didn't send you. He knows it doesn't work that way, and I don't know why.
He stopped short.
Oh, Seven Hells. He's coming back to the city.
That's why his mother wants Garnet dead.
I can't tell you anything about my client or her son. Ashiel Zandelian got out of this city alive.
He can go fuck himself if he wants more revenge than that.
Evie had the worst headache, and it was laughing at her inside her skull.
I don't care, she said sharply. I want you to dig this Stella out of my head. Then I'll leave the city. I'll leave you alone.
I told you that Garnet isn't dead, said Poet.
Aren't you honour-bound to finish your assignment if I free you?
I wasn't planning on preventing her, the Stella said sweetly with Evie's mouth.
You're not helping, Evie snapped at her. That depends, she added, glaring at Poet.
Depends on what?
How big of a favour I end up owing you. I don't actually want to leave this city unprotected against an army of Stellas. But if you really need Garnet alive, then fine. I'll leave him alive. But my professional reputation will take a hit, so you'd better make it worth my while.
The audience had gone home. The stage was empty. Evie, still in the bright white angel gown that dripped feathers all over the stage, stood alone.
I thought you'd never go this quietly, she said to the Stella in her head.
I got what I came for, replied the Stella, making Evie's face smile brighter than it ever had before.
What's that?
It shouldn't bother Evie. It had nothing to do with her. She didn't work for the creature court.
Applause? A pretty white dress? My utter humiliation?
I know his weakness now, said the Stella. And her presence in Evie's head became brighter and brighter. Believe me, that's going to be useful.
Rats ran onto the stage.
White rats, squeaking and chittering and squeaking. Wolves were there too, two of them, circling Evie, allowing the rats to run over their paws and back. More creatures came. Bats, flapping around in the eaves above, slender grey moon cats, peering from the wings. Was that a fucking panther? Weasels skittered past her line of sight, and when Evie turned her head, she saw a bear. A bear! As Evie recovered from the sight of the menagerie, a literal cabaret of monsters right here on stage, all they needed to do was start singing show tunes and her surreal dreamscape was complete. The white rats closed in around her feet. Time for our curtain call, said the Stella, like she was enjoying herself thoroughly. If I could cut you out of me with a knife, I would, Evie told her savagely. The wolves howled, a deep grinding sound that made Evie's head reverberate with pain. Whiteness blinded her in a searing moment of light, and then the rats bit. The wolves snapped. Every creature on the stage came together, snarling and growling over custody of a white, twitching shape of brightness. The Stella laughed as they tore her apart. The pieces scattered, glowing like fire. One of Lavilla's wolves whimpered, letting a piece of the brightness escape her clamping jaw. The shreds of light grew brighter and brighter, tearing themselves free from the mouths of the creatures. They came together, every piece of brightness, in the air above the stage, and in the moment before she flew back to the sky she came from, the Stella formed the shape of an angel. Thanks for listening to Sheep Might Fly. You can sign up to my author newsletter for updates. Follow me on Twitter at TansyRR or at Sheep Might Fly. Find me on Facebook at TansyRR Books. And if you like this podcast, consider supporting me at Patreon, where you can receive all kinds of cool rewards, early ebooks, and exclusive stories for a small monthly pledge. See you next week.